Sound Money Management. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Sound Money Management. All activity begins in our mind. All activity begins in our thought. All activity begins in our dreams. And when we have these dreams, when we have these thoughts all put together in their proper order, beautiful things happen. You look at people like Bill Gates, his money piles up. His money earns so much money that with the money that he earns with his money, he could take care of many of the major responsibilities of the United States. Other investors around the world who have tremendous amounts of money and invested wisely are able to do tremendous things and do them very well. This morning as I awakened, I had the dream that I was the corporate head of a large financial firm, a firm that was very successful, and it had an extreme amount of money, greater than Bill Gates and greater than any other single corporation in the world. In fact, it was the largest single holding corporation in the world, and I was the head of it. And I had the corporation divided into two major areas. And one major area was under the direction of Mrs. Jones, and the other area was under the direction of Mr. Brown. Well, Mrs. Jones was a very great lady, and Mr. Brown was a very great man. I've written down their names so that I have that for a memory. Now, Mrs. Jones didn't know what she was getting in for. She merely knew that she was doing a tremendous job and that all of her corporations were doing very well. She managed them well, and their money was making money, and the corporation was just barreling in money in every way. Everything that they did was a success. And Mr. Brown was the ideal company man. He strove every day to have his company be better and better and better. And I was the general manager under a board of directors. And so, as this general manager, as this CEO, as this chief person in charge of everything, I decided one morning I would make a few changes in the program that we had designed. And so I called the board of directors and Mrs. Jones and Mr. Brown to the office, and I said to them, I'm going to make a major change in our program of how we're operating. We need to have more flexibility, and we need to have more income. We were at the time the largest income-producing firm in the world, and we were the most wealthy in every way, shape, and form. I instructed Mrs. Jones that she was in charge of one half of all the business corporations that were under our portfolio. And she, of course, was very pleased, and she had been handling virtually all of that for 2 years now and had been doing a successful job, increasing its income by 200% in a period of 2 years. And Mr. Brown, he had been handling the other half of the portfolio of our firm and had been doing extremely wealthy, extremely careful, extremely successful, and he had done 250% increase over what he had been asked to do in the last 3 year period. And I said to Mrs. Jones and Mr. Brown, today you are totally in charge of your own areas. You are totally in charge. And each one of you is responsible to increase the income of your area by 200% within 2 months. And they looked at me with a delight in their eyes, of the delight of the challenge, the delight of the opportunity to work so positively with their areas, with their corporations, with their companies, with the things that they were doing. And they were very pleased. And I said to the board of directors, I am now sole owner of all these activities, and you are the board of corporation over each area. The board of corporation, the board of directors, are over these two divisions, and each division has its own CEO. But all of them are owned exclusively by me, and I have no board of directors. And the board of directors looked at me rather startled, and they said, "My goodness, how can that be?" I have only one thing. I have absolute control. I have control over these activities, over these firms, over these departments, divisions, and I will set the voice, set the pace for how each of these divisions will be increased and developed and managed, and the ethics and the procedural activities for each one. Now, the board of directors had dealt with me for a number of years now. I've been with them for almost 20 years. They knew exactly what my mannerism was. They knew what I was doing, and I was doing that which I proposed all these years without the consideration that it was a fact. But now it was a fact. The board of directors readily acquiesced to having no control over me. And they thought, surely good can come from this, and surely good was to come from this. So as they turned their attention to their individual groups, Mr. Brown and Mrs. Jones, they found them extremely competent in increasing the income of their various portfolios to such a lovely extent that they even exceeded the 200% and the 250%, which they had done in previous times, and the 200% that I had asked them to do in the short period of time now. But I was free to use my imagination and spread my wings and do other things. And the first thing that came to my attention was being a benefit to the people in the United States. And my first thought was, I can take over the Social Security and all its income and all its expenses and make it a money-making proposition in a six-month period, wherein the Social Security will be the highest returning activity in the world, not above any of them that we have, but a very high returning activity, that all of the people who have money in Social Security, that money will almost immediately double or triple, and the United States will continue on its prosperous way, and it will not be able to do anything but service the accounts of Social Security on a bright and beautiful and positive way. And in that step with Social Security, I would present to the United States government this possibility that if I took it over, it would have these returns within this specific amount of time. But it would mean many changes within, changes in attitude. The attitude presently is that Social Security is a poor investment. It's a poor activity, and it is surely going to fail in a given period of time. But when I took over, as I did, as the United States government was eager to have me do because of my proven portfolio, my proven experience, within that period of time, 6 months, the Social Security reached such a high peak that Everyone who had paid anything in Social Security and was paying now and will be paying was not only receiving strength for that ability, but their portion they had to pay to Social Security was reduced because the Social Security monies were invested in high return benefits so that the entire amount of money in Social Security had quadrupled in the period of 6 months that I had been working with it. It became a financially stable operation. It became a financially functional operation. Now, true, it was operated by a private organization, myself, and being operated by this private organization, it could run into certain problems, but it didn't. It didn't. Because the next step that I was to make was to take all of the medical businesses, all of the hospitals, all of the programs of doctors, and put them under the direction of the state and make them available to everyone throughout the United States. That everyone who needed any type of medical help, any type of hospitalization, it was completely paid for by the government of the United States. And the government of the United States, receiving money from many sources, was able to pour this money into this hospitalization medication program to be the finest anywhere in the world. In fact, it excelled any program that any other country even dreamed about because it was such a wonderful program to benefit people everywhere in the United States and wherever American citizens might be abroad. It took care of American citizens wherever they may be. With such a program, you can imagine that many people wanted to become citizens of the United States. And this program was able to expand. This program was able to grow and become something so terrific that all over the world, other countries wanted to emulate it. And they asked me for guidance in bringing this to pass in their countries. And this offer was made. My staff worked with each country to help them provide this same benefit for their people in their countries. And the monies came from the infinite resources that were available. The biggest thing that helped to increase my ability with Social Security and with medical and the hospital care for everyone was that the high cost of these things was reduced. Not the payment made to doctors and nurses and other people for their talent. That was at a high level. Each of the doctors and nurses, each of the hospitals, each of the people were receiving more money than they ever did, but they were giving better service because they were not being pressured by the money that they earned. And then the next step was into the pharmaceutical companies. And as I worked with the pharmaceutical companies throughout the world, all of them were eager to have their unlimited R&R, research and development. They loved having this because they did not have to go out and prove themselves to anybody except to themselves. Then they had to prove themselves to the United States and prove themselves to the Federal Drug Act and be approved so that their drugs were not going to be harmful to anyone. And when this was done, wherever it may be, Mexico, Switzerland, Canada, United States, all of these firms was able to have the money to research, the money to check it, the money to study it, the money to come up with ideas. Now, all of these things sound just like a positive pipe dream. And in point, they are a positive pipe dream, but that's where dreams come from. They dream out of our mind, out of our thought, out of our wisdom. And when we have this expectation, then, to be sure, what follows is the result of the expectation. And this expectation is so grand and so glorious and so big that why not? When private industry can make their money grow so beautifully and so fundamentally that it makes more money than the original money ever began to make, that's an amazing thing. When the federal government uses the money that's available to it, and it's infinite, it can take that money and make it more useful to it when it is properly invested so that it has the money to do what it wants to do. And throughout the United States, there can be hospitals and schools and roads and utilities and all these things. And just like over in Kiwat, they had so much money that the people paid nothing, and the services were available to everyone for everything, education, whatever it may have been. This is not something dreamed about only. This is something that's been put into motion in various areas. We have all the money that Kiwat could ever have. We have all the money that any country could ever dream of, that any department could ever dream of, that any organization could ever dream of. And it's just a matter of taking that financial imagery, that financial expectancy, the financial program, and putting it to work so that it brings the benefits that are universally beneficial to a country, to an organization, to a government. When this happens, then the focus will be away from money. It'll be away from trying to take something from somebody. Governments that will take the money away from the people and not return it in benefits. It'll take all those things away, because there will be a check and balance over the people who are the head of these various governments, by the people themselves, which will keep these things in control. And perhaps the thought of a democratic world might be in order. But even in a democratic world, misdirection can happen. All of these things have to take place first in mind. They have to take place first in thought. They have to take place first, as I did when Mrs. Jones and Mr. Brown took over the two major departments of my firm, and I took over the entire operation of the firm, free to go out and advise, direct, and program the ideals of the world to the benefit of the people. Now you say, people might get lazy if they don't have to provide anything for themselves. True, people might get lazy if they didn't have to provide anything for themselves. But the rest of the world suffers because they have to provide for these people's medical life and maintenance and old age and rest home, care facilities and things. And everybody else has to pay these things. Now, if money were available, so that all these things were available, and it didn't matter whether people could afford it or not, they would have it, there'd be a whole change in the psychology of the human being. And the human being, as taught by their parents and by their government and by their family, friends, and teachers, and what have you, would change from the idea that you must go out and earn a living, you must go out and be financially successful, to you must dream. And you must dream the ideals, the goals, the programs that you have for yourself. And in dreaming the goals, you realize that your investment is so fabulous. It just bundles itself over and over and over again to accomplish whatever goal you have in mind. Thoughts are things. And we know this so readily, we know this so completely, we know this so wonderfully. And we have seen this in so much of what we are doing, that thoughts are things. And I have been writing about this and speaking about this for years now. And if we could but recognize that instead of programming our brains, our minds, our bodies to decrepitude, we program our brains, our minds, our bodies, our world to the flow of infinite cosmic ideas, to the flow of abundance, to the flow of all that is good and beautiful and fantastic. Then we could watch and see how these things develop. We would realize that there would be a change in attitude of people around the world, an attitude to one of living in abundance, living in opulence, living in the fullness of life. And instead of throwing away our bodies, we would rethink our bodies, and we would put into work this attitude of our body that would bring about such results that it would be utterly unique and impossible. This neurogenesis is so fantastic that it's up to us to recognize this neurogenesis and begin to realize that the neurons of our body are ready to be upgraded and lifted into their highest genius, that they can accomplish anything and achieve anything. And it's up to us to do it with our thought. Yes, some might call this a pure fantasy. And yet, you look at some things, they want to be the President of the United States, and you say, pure fantasy. You, from where you stand right now, you want to be President of the United States? What do you have to offer? And the little kid says, me. And this belief, me, in yourself, from childhood on, let us encourage it to be the fulfillment of every dream. And just like as I went to the board of directors meeting and told Mrs. Jones and Mr. Brown, you're in charge of your areas. And they said, well, we have been for a long time. And I said, I am no longer your CEO. And they said, oh, I own the show. And without limitation, I direct you to accomplish great goals. And because of your imagination, because of your ability to think fantastic thoughts, you say, great, great. I will achieve that goal. I will gain 200% increase in the period of time you request, and it is done. And you see, as we start thinking in those thoughts, then instead of thinking that we're limiting, instead of making comparisons to the past and the present, or even hopes for the future, we live in the present in the most fantastic, abundant, achievement way that the world has ever known, and it only goes up and gets better from here on. This is the expectation that I have for myself and for my world. This is the expectation I have for you and your world. This is the reality that I know for all humanity, wherever we may be. This is what is the truth and what is all. And it is that right now. You can claim it for yourself. You don't have to have the grandness of the program that I offered myself, but your program can quite likely be even more grand than that. How about that? Think on these things and know that as time goes on now, we'll be speaking more and more on these abundant concepts, on these abundant ideas. And these are ideas that are yours, yours to enjoy, to experience, and to know right now, and know it forevermore. I know that I love you. I love you. I love you.